Thank you, folks. I'm glad the potter knows the clay. Amen. We are so proud to have the McBrides with us. They've been faithful to come to our anniversary Sundays and be a real addition to it and a real blessing to us. Tonight I've asked Brother McBride to come on and bring the message, and no telling how many souls these folks have reached through the years. They're faithful in so many places and in demand, and we appreciate they'd give us their time to come on by. Brother Brian, you come on and preach to us, please.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Good to be here tonight, and thank you for being back tonight. I know you're tired. You've been busy and working on a lot of things, so I'm not going to keep you long. I'm probably lying about that, but I'm going to try and be brief. I've been trying for 37 years. It's never worked yet, but I'm going to try it one more time for your sake, okay? And I'm going to read two verses of Scripture tonight, and we're going to spend a few moments here in the life of Joseph. And I want to read a verse from Genesis and the 24th chapter, and then after we read that verse, we'll read a verse from Genesis and the 35th chapter. And I'm going to preach something that honestly won't take me very long. But I've been studying in the life of Joseph again, and it happens to me about every year at the beginning of the year as I get reading through the Bible and get hung up there in Genesis. And one of the things that I notice about the life of Joseph, or that occurred to me one day, was the women that were involved in Joseph's life that would have had an influence on him. And there are five of those women that I believe would have influenced the life of Joseph. There was a woman named Rachel, who of course was his mother. And I call her the unlovely woman. And I call her that even though the Bible said she was beautiful and well-favored, she was lovely on the outside. But when you get to looking at her life, she wasn't very lovely on the inside. And then there is Leah, who was his mother's sister. And of course, both of them married to Jacob. I call her the unloved woman, because she teaches us how to get along when you feel like nobody cares about you and feel like the people that ought to love you don't. She teaches us how to live, how to get along that way. And of course, you remember that even though Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, the Bible tells us that Christ came from the lineage of Leah. And the Bible also tells us that Leah was the first of the family of Jacob, if I've studied it right, to use the covenant name of God, even before Jacob did. And also, of course, Leah was buried next to Jacob, and Rachel was not. So I think maybe Jacob saw something in Leah before he died that he found beautiful. And then there is what I call the unlawful woman, a woman named Potiphar's wife. We don't know what her first name is, but she is a woman who wanted Joseph to break the law, wanted to commit immorality. And all of your life, you'll have somebody around you who wants you to do unlawful things. They'll try and influence you in ungodly ways, and you'll have to stand for God. Doesn't happen just when you're young. It happens all through your Christian life. And then there is the unlikely woman, and that's Asenath. That is Joseph's bride. She is a Gentile bride. And I don't know exactly all the time what to do with Asenath, but I do know this. She's a lot like me. She was an idolater, no doubt involved in wickedness, but Joseph loved her and made her his wife. And that's exactly the way it was with you and I. We were idolaters and involved in wickedness, but Jesus loved us and saved us. It's unlikely that he'd want to have anything to do with us, but he does. And so I'm thankful for that. But the woman that I want to deal with for just a moment tonight, her name is Deborah. We don't find out her name until she has already died, but she is of interest to me for several reasons. Now, we're going to read about her, first of all, I think, in Genesis and the 24th chapter, if you want to look over there. The servant of Abraham has come to find a bride for Isaac. It's a wonderful picture of salvation, and the servant pictures the Holy Ghost, and he comes in the name of the father, Abraham, who represents God, and he's coming to find a bride for Isaac, who represents Christ. And he comes and finds the sinner, which Rebekah represents. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 24 and the 56th verse, the Bible said this, "And he said unto them," the servant speaking, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." I'm thankful that she had a choice in the matter, just like you have a choice in the matter. God never ordained anybody to heaven or to hell. hell. Are you listening? Never protesting them. You have a choice. And the Bible, when she said, I will go. Now, look what the Bible said in verse 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now, I want to preach a little while on this damsel. We'll read about her again. In fact, let's look at that passage, Genesis 35. Genesis 35, the Bible says in verse 8, Genesis 35 and verse 8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon-Bachuth. Now, I want to preach on Deborah for a moment. I'm going to call her tonight the unlisted woman. And I call her that because there is so little said about her in the Bible. There's not a great deal. There's not a great many verses. There's not a great oratory about her. But the Bible tells us a couple things about her that are of interest to me and that help me in my life. And I want to think about her for a moment. Now, I want to say this to you. There were two women in the Bible you remember named Deborah. One of them in the book of Judges, one of them here in the book of Genesis. We are probably much more familiar with the woman in the book of Judges who led the people of God in a battle against the enemy, and the people of God overthrew the enemy. I thought about these two women and the difference between them. We have Deborah in Judges and Deborah in Genesis. The Deborah in Judges was a warrior. The Deborah in Genesis is probably what we might call a wet nurse. One judged Israel from under a tree. The other served Israel quietly from inside a tent. One routed the enemies of God's people. The other raised the children of God's people. One had the gift of prophecy. The other had the gift of persistence. One penned down a song recorded in Scripture. The other wrote her memoir on the hearts of a family. One influenced a nation and brought them out to victory. The other influenced a child who then saved a nation. There's difference in the way they served, and yet both of them were used of God. And I look at that and I say to myself, I don't have to be just like you to be used of God, and you don't have to be like me to be used of God. And the station that God will use me in may not be the station He will use you in, and yet He can use both of us for His honor and His glory. And that's what I'm thinking about in Deborah. I'll say three things about her. First of all, tonight, I want us to consider how Deborah is introduced to us. We are introduced to her in the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I noticed three things about her. Now, a fella said last week, I was in a meeting, and he said this, and it just tickled me because it's the way I preach. He said, I have one thing that I want to say to you. But he said, you know that's not how this works. Even though I have one thing to say to you, I'm going to say three things and then three things about those things before I get to the one thing. That's the way preaching works. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. But I want us to think about how she's introduced to us. First of all, we are told that she is a servant. The Bible says in verse 59 of Genesis 24, and they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse. Now you say, preacher, how do you know she is a servant? I know because they asked Rebekah if she wanted to go, but they did not ask Deborah. They said, Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. And then the Bible said they sent away Rebekah and her nurse. It appears to me that Deborah did not have a choice in the matter in this service. So she is a servant. Now, how she became a servant, we are not told in the Bible. There are a lot of ways you could become a servant. You could be born a servant in the house if your parents were servants. You could sell yourself as an indentured servant to pay a debt. There are a lot of ways to become a servant. I don't know how she became a servant, but she was. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know about being a servant. Well, let me say this to you. God puts a high premium on those who are willing to serve. Even Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So don't ever feel like you're second class if you're serving. Nobody may notice it. Nobody may write it down. Nobody may thank you. But I tell you, one day God will reward a good servant. And so she is a servant. The next thing we notice about her is that she is a nurse. The Bible said, and they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse. Now, the word word nurse, if you study the Hebrew language, the word nurse is used in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it is a wet nurse dealing with the child who needs sustenance. Sometimes it's just somebody that deals with an infant or helps raise children. Whatever the nurse means in this passage, we know that it means at least one thing. We know that it means that Deborah is dealing with children. She has under her charge, or going to have under her charge, the children of Rebekah. Now, I like children. I like to be around them. I like to talk to them. I think maybe sometimes it's because I'm more on their level than I am the rest of the adults. But somebody says, well, I don't have time for children. You better learn to love children. You ought to be somebody that a child can look up to and see Christ in them. I remember I was preaching up in Monterey Baptist Church outside of Orlando. Brother Jason Wiley was the pastor at that time. And it was a little cool that day for Orlando. It's been several years ago. And his little daughter, Bree, I think, how old is she, Mama? She's 19 now. But she was just where she could put a sentence together at that time. And they invited us over for lunch on Sunday. And so we went over there and they got there first. When we came in, they took our coats, and then we just were all standing there in the kitchen looking at, or in the living room looking at each other. And Brother Wiley and Sister Wiley had that, they had that grin, that look on their face that says, I know something you don't know. And I said, what are y'all grinning about? And Mrs. Wiley said, well, we're grinning about what Bree said a minute ago. I said, what'd she say? She said, we got in here, we took our coats off, Bree put her hands on her hips and said, we better clean this house up, God's coming over to eat lunch with us. Now, I know I'm not, and she probably knew I wasn't, but I'm glad she thought of me and associated me at least with the Lord. I want to be the kind of person that a child could look up to. I want to be careful about my testimony. I don't want to offend one of these little ones. And then the third thing I think about her when we're introduced is she must be trustworthy. How do you know she's trustworthy? Well, she must be trustworthy if they're going to entrust their children to her care. So she must be somebody they knew she would treat those children right. She would care for those children. If you're going to be a servant, you must be trustworthy. She must have been of a higher trust than the normal servants even, because the Bible names her separate and then goes on and says, verse 61, and Rebekah arose and her damsels. But the Bible does not put Deborah amongst the damsels. She sets her off by herself. And I want to be that kind of servant for God. I don't want to just be average. I just don't want to be run of the mill. I want to be a servant that has the trust of my Heavenly Father. Now, here's the second thing I want you to think about quickly. Not only how Deborah's introduced to us, but how Deborah impresses us. There are three things about her that impress me. The first thing is her name. The word Deborah in the Bible means a honeybee. Now, that's a good name for a servant. Because when we think about the bee, we think about somebody that is industrious, somebody that is patient, somebody that has usefulness, somebody who knows what their job is and goes about doing their job and is not worried about what somebody else's job is or how somebody else is doing their job, but they just do what they're supposed to do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of God's servants would say, now this is what I'm supposed to do and I'm going to do it, and it doesn't matter what so-and-so does, doesn't matter what so-and-so said, this is my job. Be wonderful if all of God's servants were that way. We do too much sightseeing. So, well, what's so-and-so? Even the disciples had that problem. Jesus, after the sea, they'd come in after his resurrection, and he's talking about this. They said, well, what will this man do? What business was that of theirs? They had a job to do for God. It's not my business what you do. It's what I do for God. I ought to just serve the Lord. And so her name is interesting to me. It impresses me. And then her age impresses me. Now, there's a lot of controversy over this, or not controversy, but discussion and difference of opinion. But it looks to me like Deborah was serving through four generations of the same family. Now, if you figure it out, depending on who you ask, I read what Herbert Lockyer said. He said she was at least 100 years old when she died. I read what somebody else said. They said she had to be around 170 when she died. I don't know how old she was, but I know she lasted through four generations. That's pretty good. That's faithfulness there. That's continuance. That's persistence. I don't know how even she came to be with Jacob's family as they left. I have some ideas. I don't know. She might have been sent there when Rebecca died. When Jacob left Laban's house, he didn't come all the way back to Isaac, but he camped within about 20 miles. And so they might have gone back and forth. I don't know. But somehow in Genesis 35, we find her with Jacob, having an influence she would have had on Jacob's children, even Joseph, who was 11 years old at the time that she died. And so here is a woman who is faithful for years upon years upon years. It seems like today a lot of Christians are like a flash in the pan. They're here today and gone tomorrow. They serve for a little while. They want to go here. They're always trying to find an advancement, always trying to find something better. We drive along. We spend hours and hours and drive miles and miles on the highway. And my girls love horses. I don't know a lot about horses. They'll say, look, Dad, there's a paint. I know what a paint is. But they'll say, there's a bay. And they'll say, there's a roan. And there's this. I don't know what they're talking about. It's got four horses and a tail. Looks like a horse. Or four legs and a tail. Looks like a horse to me. But we always notice this. We'll get to laughing. That horse will be in that pasture. And he'll have his head through the fence, eating grass on the outside of the fence, as though the grass on the inside of the fence is not as good. And it always seems that way in our Christian service. It'd be a little better over there. We all got our heads through the fence, trying to find just a little better place. Why don't we just get settled down where we are and say, this is where God put us. I'm just going to serve. Your pastor's an example of that. He just stayed. I'm sure he had opportunities to go somewhere else. I'm sure he had opportunities to veer off the path. I'm sure there were opportunities, but he's just stayed. And aren't you thankful that he has? Let's just be a servant. Let's just stay where God puts us. And then here's the third thing that impresses me, and that's her funeral. Now, this is a servant dying, but I want you to notice again what it said in Genesis 35 about her funeral. In Genesis 35, it's an interesting chapter. There are three funerals and four burials. Three people die and are buried, and they also bury some idols under a tree. But in verse number 8, the Bible said, but Rebecca's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And if it stopped right there, there wouldn't be anything really stunning or striking about it. But it goes on and said the name of it was called Allon-Bachuth. If you study the word Allon-Bachuth, it means the oak of weeping. So here is a servant girl who has served in a family all of these years, and now when she dies, the family gathers around and weeps over her as though she were part of the family. She must have had an influence on them. They must have loved her. And I want you to just imagine, I'm using my spiritual imagination a moment, think about standing over here in the sidelines, a little off to the side is an 11-year-old boy. This is most likely his first funeral. There has been death around Joseph, but this is his first funeral, as far as I could tell in the Bible. And what is Joseph seeing at this funeral? Think about it a moment. He's seeing a woman who was pressed into a service that she did not choose. She's a servant. He's seeing a woman who stayed faithful in that service, and he's seeing a woman who was promoted, because they're weeping over her like she's one of the family, promoted in that service. Now, you know what's going to happen to Joseph in about 6 years, you know what's going to happen to Joseph? He's going to be pressed into a service that he does not choose. And he's going to have to remain faithful to God in the midst of that service. And before it's over, he's going to be promoted to a place of honor in that service. He's going to become the prime minister. Now, I don't know, but I wonder if Joseph, while he's standing there, was influenced by the faithfulness of this woman, saw the joy and the love that his family had for her and the weeping when she died. I wonder if that would have an effect on him as he's being carried off and he finds himself in a place he didn't choose to be. Maybe he said, you know what? I think I'll just be faithful and see what happens. And God blessed him. Now, here's the last thing I want to say about Deborah. I told you I wouldn't keep you long. Not only how she's introduced to us and how she impresses us, but here's what I want to zero in on a moment, how Deborah instructs us. You say, preacher, it's an interesting sermon, but what does it have to do with me? Well, there are three lessons I would learn from this woman, Deborah. Number one, there's a lesson on prominence. And that lesson is prominence does not always equal effectiveness. You don't have to be in charge to make a difference. You don't have to be the top dog. You don't have to be the one calling the shots. Somebody said, well, I'll help if I can make the decisions. No, just say, I'll help. I'll serve if I can be the one calling the shots. No, just say, I'll serve and leave the rest of it off. And you know what? God will use you just like that. He'll use you in that service. You know, Deborah, here is Deborah. I don't know, again, how she became a servant, but she is not prominent. We don't even know her name until after she's dead. Some will say, preacher, I want my name to be known. No, I want his name to be known. I want everybody to honor me and give me thanks. No, we want everybody to honor Christ and give Christ thanks. We just want to be the servant and make a difference. Not only a lesson on prominence, but a lesson on perception. I look at Deborah and I wonder if she realized. The Bible said they wept over her. They're weeping around this oak after she is dead. I wonder if she ever realized how much they cared for her. They may have told her, they may have shown her. But she may have never known exactly how much they loved her because she died and then they began to weep over her loss. And as we're serving God, we may never know what influence we have had. We may never know what. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just don't know if I'm getting anywhere. Well, you may not know if you're getting anywhere, but if you're serving him, you're getting somewhere. You say, well, I haven't seen this and I haven't seen that. Well, I'm just like you. I like to see fruit. I like to see results. I like to see things happen. I like to see altars filled. I like to see tears at the altar. I like that. I want to see that. But sometimes I don't see that. Sometimes I'll preach and there'll be nobody at the altar. But then I'll go back a couple of years later and somebody will walk up and they say, preacher, I don't know if you remember or not, but you was here and you preached such and such a message and God worked in my life and changed my life. And I say, hallelujah. I didn't know it, but God was using me. And sometimes you won't know it, but God's using you anyway. So you just go on and you just serve him. And then here is really the whole message. We learn a lesson about persistence. Four generations. I call that faithful. You say, preacher, what's the secret of the ministry? Well, there's a lot of things that we need to be aware of, but can I just say this? Paul said this, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I like that verse. Don't you like that verse? Somebody said, preacher, what's the secret? Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't stop. Whatever. If you get discouraged, don't sit down. If somebody tries to sidetrack you, don't follow them. Just be faithful. Just go on. Just serve. Just be faithful. You know, I was reading. I tried to read. It was a little bit over my head. I had to go back and keep reading it again. Then I'd go back and read it again and say, what did he say? I was trying to read Charles Spurgeon's lecture to my students. And I tell you that, I love to read that man, but he's wordy. I don't know if he could preach a 20-minute message, but anyway, and I'd go back and I'd read and I'd go back and I'd read, but there was one chapter, I just got excited when I read the chapter title. It was called For Preachers with Slender Apparatus. I said, what in the world does slender apparatus mean? And then he explained it. They don't have much going for them. And I thought to myself, how many times you and I look at our life and our ministry and our service and we say, we just don't have much going for us. I tell you what we can do. We can stay at it. We can be faithful. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Just keep on. Just keep on, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. This is what the Bible said about Jesus. In Hebrews it said, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience
is the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and has set down the right hand the throne of God. Wherefore consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. And when he hung on the cross, you remember what he said? John chapter 19. He didn't say, I've started it. He didn't say, I did a little bit. He said, it is finished. I want to say to you, young person, finish. Just finish. Don't quit. Just finish. God will use you if you'll finish. Just finish. Just finish. I think of this woman and I'm reminded I was in North Carolina, and I've got a preacher friend there, and he likes to go soul winning, and usually when he takes me soul winning, we do something that we end up in trouble somehow or another. And so I'm always nervous when he tells me we're going soul winning. And so one day he said, we're going to go soul winning today. I said, okay. He said, we're going to a certain college and named the college a secular college. I said, okay. And he looked at me and I said, what else? Because I knew there's more to the story. He said, well, it's against the law. I said, well, that's a problem. He said, but I've been reading the handbook, and you can take a survey. So we went to the Ben Franklin store. We got us two clipboards, paper, and pens, and we wrote us out a 10-question survey. Our survey went like this. Is there a God? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Who is Jesus? How can I miss heaven and go to hell? Those were our questions on our survey. So we pulled onto the college campus, and the security guards came up, and I was standing behind Brother Harris because it was his idea. And the security guard said, they said, what are you doing here? And Brother Harris said, we're here to take a survey. And we showed them our clipboard with our questions written out, and they said, okay, go ahead. So we went all over the college taking a survey, telling people about Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary. So we walk down in this cafeteria, and Harris is talking to these two fellas, and there's this young lady sitting by herself at a table, and I didn't sit down, but I walked up by her, and I laid the clipboard down where she could see it, and she turned her head, and I said, young lady, I'm taking a survey. Can I ask you a question? She said, okay. I said, is there a God? She said, I don't think so. I said, is there a heaven? She said, maybe. I said, is there a hell? She said, definitely not. I said, who is Jesus? And she looked at me and she said, hold it. Just like that. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're asking me questions about Christianity, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And then her face softened. And she said to me in a softer voice, she said, I don't know about this Christian thing, but if there ever was such a thing as a Christian, my granny was a Christian. I said, what do you mean by that? She said, I would go to my granny's house when I was a little girl, and granny'd be on her knees beside her bed praying. She said, she'd pray my name. She said, granny would walk through the house singing Christian songs, she called them. She still remembered the names of those Christian songs. Now, granny's long gone into heaven. And I don't know if granny ever knew it, but she's still having an influence in the life of that girl. The other day I was preaching, a fella came up to me after the service. I told that story that I just told you, and he said, preacher, when I was a little boy, I went to my grandmother's house, and every time we went, she'd make us get down on our knees by the couch, and she would walk behind us one at a time and put her hand on our head and pray to God about us going to heaven. He said, I was a little fella, and I didn't have any understanding of what she had to say, what she was talking about. And then he said, one day, he said, I got under Holy Ghost conviction, and I started thinking about granny putting her hand on my head and praying. And he said, I got saved, and now I know what granny was talking about. I'm just saying to you, you may not know the influence that you have, but just keep on. Just keep serving. Don't get faint. Don't quit. Let God use you. He can use somebody that will be faithful. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I've got a young preacher friend. He went to a church, and from the day he walked through the door, it was warfare. Fighting and fussing and battling. This family would get mad and leave. The former pastor attacked him. This one got mad and left. And I'd go preach revival for him. And he'd sit on the altar and sob and weep. I'd pray for him. And then one day, he didn't tell me, but I heard through a friend that he'd moved. He called me and he said, "Preacher," said, I'm at another church pastor now, and I want you to come and preach revival for me." I said, "Okay." I got down there and got to the new church, and there's people everywhere. Brother said, "I got people coming I haven't even visited." He said, "I don't know where they're coming from." They were everywhere. So later on, I talked with him. And when he's pastoring a little church, they're going to have friend day. Him and his wife and two children went out, and during the week, they passed out 10,000 flyers, his family. And on friend day, nobody came. Now he's in this church. I said, "Brother, what happened?" He said, "Well, I don't know." But he said, "One day I went in my office, I got down on my knees, and I said, 'Lord, if you want me to serve here on this corner for the rest of my life and just preach to my family, if that's what you have for me, I'm willing.'" And you know what God did? He just turned that whole thing around. Now he said, I got people coming to church. I don't even know where they came from. Now here's what I believe. I believe if you're faithful, God will bless you. If you just stay at it. Nobody might ever know what your name is, but God knows who you are. And I think that's what Deborah teaches us tonight. Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And I pray that you'll help us tonight to be faithful. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's going to work out. Sometimes it doesn't look like anybody even cares. But Lord, help us to be faithful. There's something we can do. We can be a servant. And we can be faithful in our service. And you can use us. Lord, the reason those people got saved today, somebody was faithful. The reason that mortgage was burned today, you know, is because somebody was faithful. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us be faithful. I pray for these college students that they'll not run after fame and they'll not run after a name, but they'll want to be faithful and found faithful in your sight. And, Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the faithful members of the Landmark Baptist Church who stay by the stuff. Nobody else may know who they are, but you know who they are. And they'll be remembered. And you'll say to them one day, "Well done." And, Lord, I want you to help me to be faithful. We'll thank you. And Lord, I want to thank you for being faithful and finishing your course. Help us to be like that. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.
Let's stand, please. We'll have a verse of song. Had a tremendous message. I don't need to try to add to it. That's the key tonight. Serve God whether your name's ever known or not. Be faithful. Don't quit. Could be somebody here tonight and you've been on the quitting edge. You've been close to it. It'll never be the Lord that tells you to quit. The devil will tell you often. Sing the words and take notice of them. We've had a great day today. Physically tiring, but spiritually exciting. And just praise God for His faithfulness. We had a lot of folks being the servant that Deborah was. And a lot of hard work went into it. But God has blessed and showed us the miracle of holding the weather back today and souls being saved and just a lot of good things. And we praise the Lord for it. Tremendous message. There's deep things in the Word of God, hidden things that sometime, like he brought that out tonight, I doubt any of us ever heard about Deborah that much. But God didn't overlook her, did he? And he's not overlooking you either. Wonderful truth, Brother Brian. Praise God. Appreciate it so much. Appreciate the McBrides being with us today. It just helps us on our anniversary Sunday. Tremendous. Now, folks, be careful. The devil's going to whisper in your ear, take it easy now. And he'll get you to quit one way or the other. He'll push you off one end of the table or the other end. Don't let him do it. Let's stay faithful. Amen. Been good to be in God's house. Now we got a lot of folks to follow up on, a lot of visitors. Some of you brought some visitors this morning. Tremendous. And encourage them to come again. And you may find it easier to get them next time than the first time because they've already been. And I tell you this, lost people don't come to church and hear the gospel too many times without getting saved. It is the rare occasion one does, but most of the time they come and the Holy Spirit speaks to them and after a while they get saved. Yeah. And it's our challenge to get them back and let them hear more than once. Amen? Amen. All right. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're so glad to have you and hope you be back with us again. And again, we praise God for what he's done today. Some of the fun work was the hard work getting things together. It's not going to be as much fun taking it down, cleaning it up. But we got to do it. Amen. But that's part of it. That's part of serving the Lord too. Amen. All right. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. God bless you. Let's be dismissed.